day of decision for young immigrants.
Help us. There are 800,000 of us.
Hurricane spins toward Florida.
We'll know more as the week progresses what kind of a threat it really poses.
Scars left by the Texas floods.
How emotionally challenging is that conversation with your child?
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the Trump administration is set to reveal the president's decision on DACA, the Obama-era program that protects immigrants brought here illegally as children. Supporters made their case in the streets of some cities yesterday. We're live this morning with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Some 800,000 young people have lived for years now with DACA protections and work permits. The president campaigned on a vow to undo Barack Obama's immigration policies. But last week, Mr. Trump expressed sympathy for DACA recipients.
We love the dreamers. We love everybody.
Several states, including Texas, set a deadline, announced the wind down of DACA by today or face a lawsuit. But that could itself prompt a suit from states led by Democrats. And Republicans, as senior as the Speaker of the House, have recently said it's wrong to scrap the program.
Well, these are kids who know no other country.
Republicans blocked the DREAM Act earlier this decade, but Paul Ryan now says it's time for Congress to help the young people brought here illegally. CBS's Steve Futterman spent time with some of them recovering from Hurricane Harvey.
Last week here in Houston, she and other so-called dreamers were helping on the front lines.
We had dreamers last week that were helping in the floodwaters.
Jimena Magana is 23. She came to the U.S. from Mexico when she was 9.
We spent hours and hours here in shelter.
Today, it is possible she will be told her time in the U.S. could soon end. She calls it unfair.
It makes me angry and upset at the same time to think that we are a group of people that are currently contributing and giving back to the community in the moment that it needs us the most. And we are being told that we're not wanted here.
And she says she hopes the president will reconsider his decision. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Houston.
Well, Florida's governor has declared a state of emergency as Hurricane Irma cuts a path toward the state and could be a factor there by the weekend. It's now strengthened to a Category 5 with 175-mile-an-hour winds. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Miami.
People in South Florida are emptying store shelves, filling grocery carts, and packing their cars with water.
It's not good for you. It's not good for distress. You have to do it early as you can.
Carlos Jimenez, the mayor of flood-prone Miami-Dade County, is watching Hurricane Irma closely.
Well, the storm surge is really the thing that kills the most people, so that's what really we're worried about.
A recent study found Florida has 2.7 million properties at risk, the most in the U.S.
Well, there are concerns about disease in the wake of the destructive flooding from Harvey in eastern Texas. Correspondent Michelle Miller is in Houston.
Dr. Umair Shah is the executive director of Harris County's Public Health. He's checking in on Houstonians who are beginning the difficult task of cleaning out their homes.
We're really encouraging everybody to use as much protection as possible so they avoid touching any of this because we just don't know what was in it.
Well, it's swelling up there.
While Shaw's biggest concerns are illnesses that can collect in the water and the air, he's also worried about people's mental health.
Thank you so much.
Siomi Smishek moved into a hotel after her home flooded. She says the sound of water running through her room's air conditioner terrifies her.
I was crying and say, oh my God, it's raining again. And I start every time jumping to the window to see if it's water in the street.
How big of an issue will mental illness be?
It's going to be devastating. There is so much that we don't know about how this has impacted people.
Well, the aftermath of Harvey is just one of the things on the to-do list for Congress as it returns to work today. CBS's Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill.
They need to raise the debt ceiling and fund the government, two things that can be pretty controversial with conservatives. And now, on top of that, they've got this new request from the White House, more than $7 billion, essentially a down payment on relief funding for hurricane victims in Texas. Now, that funding has a lot of support from both sides, so congressional leaders are thinking that they'll roll it into a bill to raise the debt ceiling.
The White House says North Korea's weekend nuclear test is a grave threat to the entire world. Global leaders today have called for a diplomatic solution. New sanctions against North Korea are likely. CBS's Ben Tracy is in Seoul, South Korea.
South Korean President Moon Jae-in and President Trump spoke on the phone and agreed to lift restrictions that will allow Seoul to increase the explosive power of its missiles and to buy billions more in U.S.-made weapons.
It happened in late July, but video emerged just the other day. A nurse handcuffed and dragged from the University of Utah hospital after she refused to let police get a blood sample from a suspect who was unconscious and being treated in the ER. University Police Chief Dale Brophy.
When the body camera footage became available, it became extremely clear and a lot more understanding to the picture. She did everything right. She didn't deserve to be treated that way.
The officers won't be disciplined, but will get new training. The hospital changed some of its policies last month. The Flight Attendants Union wants the TSA to step in and stop Pittsburgh's airport from opening the Air Mall there to people who aren't flying anywhere. It's been off limits to non-flyers since 9/11. Airport CEO Christina Kasotis says that all changes today.
Show up with a valid driver's license or a passport as though you were buying a ticket, because we're going to run you against a no-fly list. That's how it works. We're going to check you the way the airlines check you.
Well, in big league baseball, no one's been able to stop the Los Angeles Dodgers this season, but last night one player did all he could.
J.D. Martinez hits it out of here and way out of here to make it 2-0 Arizona.
D-backs outfielder J.D. Martinez homered early.
J.D. Martinez has done it again.
And often.
J.D. Martinez with his third home run of the game.
And in the ninth inning on Verizon Sportsnet.
Drilled to left field, and J.D. Martinez with a four-home run night.
Martinez is baseball just the 18th history. Player in Major League history to hit four home runs in a game. It was a 13-0 Arizona win over the Dodgers. In Brazil, police in Rio have conducted raids today in connection with a bribery scheme centered on last year's Summer Olympics. Suspects are believed to have bribed members of the IOC to vote for the city's bid to host. The home of the head of the Rio Olympic Committee was searched. Should video gamers be in the Olympic Games? CBS's Gary Nunn takes a look.
Pressure from e-sports enthusiasts has caused IOC President Thomas Bach to have second thoughts about which events to include. Bach has not ruled out competitive video game playing, but says he's concerned about the type of games that might be on the list, saying he does have a problem with those games which are about violence, explosions, and killing. Bach says any sport included should mirror something played in real life, like football or basketball. Critics say that logic doesn't wash, since boxing, one Olympic sport, is pretty violent. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.